Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Greetings, groomers! Hi, Susie, what's up this week?
Salutations as well. you know, it's good to be creative. Welcome to episode 169 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 17th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode is sponsored by Stazco Products, featuring the famous Stazco Conditioning Spray. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to cover curly doodle coats. Our definition du jour is 1,4-dioxin. And we're going to talk a little bit about mobile arrival times. So you can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on Spotify, on iTunes, on Google Play. Find all things Groom Pod related, including the Amazon banner, Patreon button, and donation button at www.thegroompod.com. Share us with all your grooming pals and support our sponsors, Best Shot, South Park, Evolution, Stazco, Show Season, and Positive Ed. Positive Ed is a new learning opportunity that our friend Mary Aquino has offered us. It is a training membership program. You can get education and new skills and rejuvenate your business right from the privacy of your own home. It brings education right to you. Personalized attention, access to the educator, and a private community are all featured in this really new method. It's designed to expand and evolve your business. It's $30 a month or $360 a year, and what you get for your membership is a monthly live webinar that is in an interactive platform, so you can actually talk to Mary. You get your own private Facebook group. You get access to all of the recordings, past, present, and future. You get a weekly Q&A with Mary and extra bonus materials and special offers. So you can find all of this at positiveed.com. That's PAWSITIVED.com. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. I got a question for you.
Okay.
There has been a really cool looking shampoo bar that keeps popping up on my Facebook page. I think it's just a soap, but I thought I'd just kind of double check with you because it looks so neat. It looks like soap with sprinkles in it.
Oh, I know. Some of these soap bars are so attractive. And that's one of the reasons why they're popular and why they're selling. But the thing to keep in mind is that there's two types of shampoo bars available. One is soap and the other is a Sindet or a synthetic detergent. The soap is soap.
Right. I don't like soap, you know, so much.
I want to bring myself into the 21st century here and acknowledge that soap making as a craft has vastly evolved from the original soap of the 1800s, you know, or even 20th century soap. It's really? A lot, yeah, it really has evolved, and nonetheless, soap is soap, and it has a high pH, which leaves the hair rough, cuticle open, subject to damage. If you use a saponified oil shampoo soap bar, you want to use an acidifier afterwards, either a vinegar rinse or something like Results Rinse from Show Season.
Okay.
In other words, you really need to condition after you use those soap-based shampoo bars. And it can have really attractive-looking combination of saponified oils. They'll say olive oil, argan oil, this oil, that oil, you know, and it sounds like it's made up. But if you notice, the word saponified oils of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's still soap. It's still rather harsh.
What about the synthetic detergent?
This is another whole thing. The Syndet bars or the detergent shampoo bars can be, you know, one of the big popular ones are the Lush shampoos. And Lush is just a very popular brand of kind of natural type products, right? The thing about Lush bars that are, they're synthetic detergent bars. They have a lot of good things in them, but their cleansing agent is sodium lauryl sulfate. And so we need to know that. Sodium lauryl sulfate is one of the most easy surfactants to turn into a solid bar because SLLs becomes solid in certain conditions, okay?
Right.
So here are the ingredients for the Lush Argan Oil Shampoo Bar. Sodium lauryl sulfate, water, argan oil, glycerin, geranium oil, rose oil, probably just a drop because that stuff is very expensive, Sicilian lemon oil, it's still lemon oil, and then some fragrance components and a colorant, okay? So that's pretty simple stuff. The glycerin is a humectant and a natural moisturizer, and it's a byproduct of soap making. That's interesting. Byproduct of soap making put in a synthetic detergent bar.
Way to use your byproducts.
Way to use your byproducts. I found another brand of shampoo bars, Syndet bars, that is really a little more sophisticated, perhaps.
Okay.
And interesting. And this one contains sodium cocoyl isothionate. That's a very mild surfactant. Sodium cocosulfate, disodium sulfosuccinate, stearic acid, cocoa butter, glycerin, cedar alcohol, coconut oil, lime, rosemary, and sweet orange essential oils, juniper extract, mica, and lactic acid. So one of the things that we noticed that is absent from the synthetic detergent bar is preservatives. Doesn't need preservatives if there's little or no water.
So
right?
Tell me this, does it react just like a really harsh shampoo or does it react more like a soap? Like, does it leave the film or not?
Well, the soap bars are going to leave a film, especially if you have hard water.
What about these ones, though?
These ones are not. No.
So it is more like a shampoo.
It's very like a shampoo.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to worry about harming the environment. And I think this is a brand called Ethique, made in New Zealand. And even their wrapper is biodegradable.
That's so, better than I thought it was. It looked like a soap.
Yeah, you need to know. And that's why we need to know ingredients.
Right.
Right? And these people also have a conditioning bar. And it looks very much like a regular conditioner.
Now I want to try it.
Yeah, it can be tried, and they tend to last a long time, although you're actually using concentrated surfactant. You know, when you don't have that water, it's the water on your hair that is the only water. So it's pretty, it can
direct.
Be pretty direct, yeah. It's pretty direct, and
that seems to me it would be harsh. That's why.
And it just seems to me that it might be a little harsh, although it's certainly sodium cocoyl isothionate is just really very, very mild. Sodium cocosulfate, their second co-surfactant, is just about as harsh as sodium lauryl sulfate.
But my hair is greasy. I was thinking of this for my own hair.
Yeah, well, I don't see it as a really viable. You might want to have it for dirty feet or extra dirty ears, and in that case, it doesn't matter as much if it's a soap or a Sindet bar. But, you know, the fact that you can't dilute these bars, they're excellent for when you're traveling. They're safe going through security on the airplane. You're not going to get busted.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you're not going to get busted for them. So they're very good for travel. But you have to like it in the first place. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not going to the Outback. I'm just going to Sydney. You know, there's lots of shampoo in Sydney. I'm sure the hotel will have something, you know, or I can go to the local store down the street and find some exotic shampoo. So, you know, like, I don't know.
I don't love the idea of taking a bar of anything, rubbing it on one dog, and then going to another dog and rubbing it on another dog. I don't love that idea.
I don't love the idea of rubbing on the hair and having to work through the hair, because every time you do that, rubbing hair causes cuticle damage, period. Period. Okay.
All right. So it may not be soap, but it still isn't a great panacea for packaging. It's good for packaging, but maybe good for travel, might have its specific uses.
And you might want to try it, but I'm going to tell you, a good shampoo bar is going to cost you like $12.
I just looked it up on Amazon. That pretty sparkly one is $8, seven and change. So and I was thinking, well, that's expensive for a bottle of shampoo for myself, but I'm cheap. I buy grocery store shampoo or use the shampoo from the trailer. But I thought for my husband, who doesn't use any shampoo at all, I could get him that and he would use it instead of soap in his hair.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe on his body too, because he's kind of a one bar fits all guy. You know what happened to me this week?
No, what?
My button, my air button to turn my HydroSurge pump, my recirculating pump, split.
Oh, shit.
I tried blowing in that tube. I tried taping the button shut. I tried to find a button that someone would send me in an emergency shipment out to the house. And I found one. There isn't a lot of people that sell the product line for Oster. They just don't have a great parts department anymore for the HydroSurge. And it's a weird part anyway. I couldn't find it at Home Depot or Lowe's. So I went online and I found it at Wags, WAGS Grooming Supply on the West Coast down in California. So I ordered a 2-day get it to the house in an emergency kind of a thing. And it turned out that the owner of that company passed away recently.
Uh-oh.
And they're all scrambling because it's one of those small, you know, independent.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I wanted to pass along my condolences to them. And they did finally ship out my little button, but I have a backup HydroSurge and I went and reclaimed it from the girl who I had loaned it to, who's moving anyway. And I was able to just swap them. But what an annoyance that is to having to hand bathe dogs. I forgot how annoying it is to hand bathe dogs. Boy.
Yeah. And on your hands too, you know, like my wrist just couldn't take it anymore. I'm so glad. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm still grooming at age 78 is that 20 years ago, I bought a HydroSurge recirculating system. If it wasn't for that, I don't know that I would have lasted this long.
I had to mix shampoo in a bottle and then pour it over the and then work it in with my hands. It was archaic, Barbara. I was in shock. So I had forgotten about the other bathing system because it usually just sits in a box in the garage until this one breaks. And then I swap them out, mail one way and get it fixed. And but doggone it, trying to repair that button is really difficult. Those buttons, they should have. I mean, it seems like such a common thing.
You should be able to find it at Harbor Freight.
They have buttons for garbage disposals that are pneumatic, but they're like a button. And I don't think they would have worked since ours is more actual air force rather than an electronic button switch.
Didn't Google tell us that coming soon was picture searching?
Yeah.
They lied, huh?
Yeah. Well, I tried to search it on Amazon and all I could find was complete systems. I couldn't find Oster parts. I could find parts to other Oster machines, but not that. It's just a funny little, we're a niche market. We're not a big market, and little buttons to turn on your bathing system apparently is not a common thing. So I do have one coming, but for my second day air, it took them a week to get here, but I understand why. But I paid big bucks for that stupid shipping charge.
Yeah, I know. Well, I would want my shipping charge reversed.
Yeah, I may ask for that after I receive it, because I haven't seen it yet. It hasn't gotten here yet. But I know it got shipped. So, and I called and physically talked to them, which is how I found out that the owner had passed away. They were scrambling to get the orders taken care of, and mine was just sitting there on an internet order that nobody had looked at, I'm sure. But that is my story. The cool thing is we've got sunshine, and it looks like we've got sunshine for like 10 days. How cool is that? Finally, summer is at least making its peak around the corner. It's not quite summer here yet, but we're getting there.
So I got my new hanging pockets from the stable hung up. It looks really good. I'm going to take a better picture and post it on the group, because you know, it even comes with a screw-in clamp thing where you can attach it to a wall if you need to, and it's very attractive. The pink purpley paisley, it's got an element of turquoise in it that blends right in with the blue of my table and my backdrop. So it, you know, like it sort of goes with the flow there, even though it's more pink than turquoise.
When I was a little girl, my mom was a seamstress.
Yeah.
And she made me a complete outfit in a paisley that was very similar to that one. It really brought up some memories when I looked closely at it. My mom was such a good sewer. She really was. I, not so much. I did a home ec class where we had to make a shirt. And
yeah.
I didn't want my mom's help because, you know, the usual Susie cry of I'll do it myself. And I ended up with 1 3-quarter length sleeve and 1 short sleeve. And my mom took it in the back. She fixed it. She gave it to me. I turned it in. I got the assignment complete, and I never sewed again.
Yeah, I failed out of sewing class, too. Did better in cooking.
Me, too.
I made some great biscuits.
I made a good stir fry.
Yeah.
It's funny what you remember.
Yeah.
So tell me this. What happened to you this week? Anything exciting?
No.
Okay.
It was a pretty modest week. Well, I actually only groomed 2 days.
Oh, that's right.
And you know, and we had a big change of weather. So we had temperature drop, rainy, muggy weather. And I got to work on Friday and I'd had 5 days off. And immediately my hands started triggering. Clamping shut, all this kind of crap. I could hardly groom. It's so disturbing. It's not just that it's uncomfortable and it hurts and that shit. I can take that. But it's just disturbing that it's dysfunctional.
It reminds me of the horror movies that my husband has been watching as of recently. Like your hand just takes over and all of a sudden it's like strangling you.
Well, it's almost like that, but my thumb locked shut. And so after 3 or 4 times of pulling it back and all of that, I just left it shut and I jammed things in it. Like, okay, there we are. Okay, go. Fuck you. You know, like.
Oh, how funny.
That's bad.
That is really bad. So I have heard through our Facebook group that people are having a difficult time right now with the Apple interface with the podcast. So I wanted to let people with Apple phones know that Podomatic, who is the server that hosts our podcast, has been doing a lot of upgrading and tweaking of their systems. I suspect it is affecting the Apple downloads. I'm not positive about that, but they did send me a letter in the mail. An email, not a snail.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They sent me a letter, an email that said that they were doing a lot of tweaking over the last few days, which explained some of the problem. What you may need to do, folks, is restart your phone, because if they've done some upgrading, sometimes that needs to take place before it will take the upgrades or before the user interface will work with your operating system. But that's a lot of technical crap. Anyway, try restarting your phone. You know, the best way to get the podcast is to subscribe to it with one of the podcast generators like Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and all that stuff. But if that doesn't work for you, if for some reason, the one that I use is called Beyond Pod. And I think it works in both applications. I'm not positive. Maybe it's only Android, but that one works really well for my podcast listening needs. It's also Podomatic works pretty well, I understand. But know that if that's not working for you, you might be able to either physically download it at our website or at Podomatic website, just straight through the internet, through your browser. You can probably play it there, but some of the Apple ones weren't playing there because something about the Apple interface was messing with it a little bit. So be patient, keep trying, maybe download a different app, but you know, you'll figure out a way to get in. We're there. We're waiting for you. Yeah. Our show will be there.
Okay. Cool.
No new Patreon people this week, but I did want to remind everybody that an easy way to support the show is through Amazon. Go to our website, www.thegroompod.com. Click on the Amazon banner and do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but it does help support the show without dipping into your pocket and without raising your prices. So we appreciate that very much. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Curly Doodle Coats. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15 to 1 for deep cleaning, 50 to 1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Doggone it, Barbara. I picked up so many freaking doodles. I've got doodles coming out of my ears. Most of them would like the dog to stay rustic looking and have the curly coat still be curly. But as you know, in the past, I've had this be a challenge for me because I have to hand dry all the dogs. These always seem to be yard dogs. You know, they're out in the yard. They pick up all kinds of crap. They're dirty. I can't very well go cutting on them before I get them clean. And yet I have to kind of blow that hair out to brush them and use my equipment on them. And I am looking for tips. I'm desperate for tips. So the way I go about doing it these days is I take the dog in, I wash, condition, and dry the dog as if I was doing a poodle's. Although I may not especially get the head very dry. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave that kind of wet so that it air dries while I'm doing the body. So my heads always look pretty darn good. It's the body that ends up looking too poodly. And it's not because I'm making a poodly look, but it's because I've straightened the hair. And I'm trying to figure out a way that is reasonable in the wintertime, especially. In the summertime, I can re-dampen up the dogs and send them on their way and they're probably fine. Luckily, most of my doodle owners are considerate and understand that the dogs are being hand dried and they're going to look fluffy for the first few days and they just accept it. but I'd like to be better at this service. Can you give me some tips?
Well, no. It's a challenge. That's where I'm so lucky to have a stationery shop, because what we do is blow off the rough stuff and then pen dry them under fans or the, you know, the big air mover type dryers, and then do the grooming and comb rather than brush. So comb rather than brush is one of my tips. You know, I use a wooden handle, wide tooth poodle comb. Do not use a slicker brush, because a slicker brush gives you maximum fluffiness and every hair straight. You know, so I use a comb or a, probably that Swisco vent brush.
Yeah, bigger, I love that.
Yeah, bigger, wider things. And what you can do is start from the bottom up, layer, line dry, but don't dry it all the way.
Here's what I was thinking. I was wondering if maybe this would work. If I leave the dogs sacked out a little bit, you know, as in I wrap it in towel and I leave the dogs kind of wrapped in a towel so that it's wicking off moisture as opposed to me straightening the hair and blowing off moisture. And then I kind of work one leg and I get that leg dry and I cut that leg and, you know, tidy up that leg. And then I unwrap another part of the dog while it's all air drying, or maybe even take the sack off. I don't know whether I leave the sack on or take the sack off.
Your devotion to the clipper vac is kind of undermining you a little bit in this, because you know what I can do is use my chunkers and just scissor off a bunch of length and work on damp or partly wet coat and not have to blow dry it all the way. But when you're using a snap-on comb on a vacuum system, well, you don't want to, you know,
but even not on a vacuum system.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I just can't whack away at it and feel comfortable with it looking anything wet, like decent. Well, even for instance, when I try to scissor legs where I've set the length with a comb, I still come up with different looking legs often, you know, with lopsided or too much hair on one leg and not enough hair on the other leg, or more hair on the front of the leg than the back of the leg on one leg, and more hair on the back of the leg than the front of the leg on the other leg. I can never get it enough similar to where I feel like someone should be paying me for the grooming, I guess. Yeah, so.
Yeah, see, that's too bad.
I know. You know. It's because I've always learned with a clipper vac. I never had to scissor the dogs, ever. I did to learn, like when I started, part of my learning process included scissoring dogs. And I certainly scissored dogs for competition. I also scissored dogs for certification. But in the last 10 years, I haven't really had to scissor much except for to finish scissor, which I'm good at. I'm good finish scissor. I'm just not good at setting a scissored length.
Bulk scissoring. Well, I'm sorry for you.
Wah, wah. Yeah. Okay.
Because that's part of your options when working with a rustic coat is to scissor it rather than use the snap-on comb. Comb it instead of brushing it.
Right. When I wander down the, because, you know, it's not like I go to a hairdresser or anything. I mean, I don't go into places where they have actual hairdressing products, except for that occasionally I go into Sally Beauty Supply. But when I go in the grocery store, they have things that say they curl hair that like you spray on afterwards. Is there really anything that'll curl your hair that you could spray on afterwards?
Yeah, I use that kind of stuff all the time.
Would that help me?
It might, and you can scrunch it. You know, you get something that it's called scrunching.
Is there a dog-produced product, or do I have Sally Beauty?
No, no. Okay. You know, you might want to go and talk to your Sally Beauty person.
Okay.
I love Sally Beauty. And I love those people who end up behind the counter because they're product mavens like myself. You know, they're these young people that are into it, you know. And I went to my Sally's to pick up. It's the best place to get cotton squares.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
The biggest bag for the least amount of money to get decent cotton squares that don't just fall apart is Sally Beauty. But, I went there for some stuff, and I was greeted by this great big curly-haired trans guy. I loved it.
What a fun shopping experience.
It was fun, you know, and he or she comes over, you know, are you finding everything? Oh, yeah, but I almost wanted to not be able to find something, to interact with this person a little bit more.
How fun.
It was fun, and good for Sally Beauty to hire this person, you know, I mean, because that's going to make a difference.
Right.
Just casual public interfacing, you know.
Right. Not so scary.
Yeah, not so scary. It's curly, it's loose curls, hair, just beautiful. I just wanted to drown in his hair. Oh, I love your hair, you know. It was fun. And I did find another human product that I really liked this week.
Oh, yeah?
This might be a part for what's new. But, another Not Your Mother's. I really love the Not Your Mother's human line. And you might look for something in that line to see if you can find something. But this was a blow dry accelerator.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it caught my attention, right? I think I probably got this off of Amazon because I bought a number of the Not Your Mother's things. The fragrances are just to die for. They just have great fragrances. And this stuff, you're supposed to, you know, like spritz it generously after you towel and before you blow dry. And it's a cyclomethicone based product. It does seem to kind of speed up the drying a little bit. And it also improves combability.
Ooh, that's so, always good.
Yeah, so that's a combination. So it's kind of like I kind of see it almost like a leave-in conditioner product.
Nice.
That smells really good. So just for those of you who love to experiment with human products on your pets, give this one a try. It's cool stuff.
One other thing, the hair dryer that has the weird round diffusing.
Diffuser, yep.
Would that help me or would that just slow me way down?
You might want to try that in the second part. You want to use your force to blow off the obvious water.
Right.
And then say halfway to two-thirds. And then the diffuser might help. I mean, I have to use a diffuser. If I'm going to keep my curly hair, I either have to air dry it or use a diffuser. And I used to have an actual round-shaped dryer on a handle that was a diffuser dryer. They don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
You might try with that.
Always my best defense is a good offense. So I try to talk to the client about the fact that I'm hand drying the dog and that it's going to end up fluffy. And that has always worked the best for me. And I know it's a little bit of a cheat, but it's easier for me to tell the client this is the expectation and manage their expectations a little bit about the finish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Than it is for me to try to learn how to bulk scissor down a doodle. Call me lazy. All right, let's take another break and then let's go back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary is the first topic we have in our school day today, Barbara. Our word for the veterinary vocabulary is caudal, C-A-U-D-A-L. Do you know what that means?
I have no clue. I have stumped the wordsmith.
Excellent. Well, I didn't know either. That's why I was picking it for today. It was just kind of a unique word. And guess what? It's the opposite of cranial. Caudal is the opposite of cranial. Cranial, it's
so
directional.
It's your butt?
It's towards the direction of your butt.
Oh, it's in that direction.
Yeah, it's a directional term. So the caudal side of the leg would be the side of the leg that's towards the direction of the butt.
Why?
I have no idea.
I mean...
We're gonna hit some obscure terms.
What's the boat term?
Stern.
Yeah.
Or the aft.
Yeah. Well, why don't we just stick with that?
Okay.
Why do they have to have another whole language? Right.
I know.
Well, okay. Good. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, like that's gonna be helpful.
Sure to forget that in 5 minutes.
Do you know what a hare foot is? That's our grooming glossary.
Oh, that I know what that is. Okay. Spelled H-A-R-E.
It's true.
Which means like a rabbit.
Yep.
Which means like it's a long flat foot, like the Bedlington Terrier has a hare foot.
Yes, and it is demonstrated or most notable by the two middle toes being way longer than the two side toes, and it gives this really long visual.
Pointy foot.
Little pointy foot. Like the ones I have.
Pointy foot. Now, try to make that foot look round. No, you don't try to make a hare foot look round. You try to make it look actually kind of thin and flat. And that's one case where you might want to scissor a little bit with your blending shears over the top of the foot to maintain that hare foot look. It's actually some of the running dogs like Afghans and Greyhounds and those kind of dogs, they have hare feet.
Very much. The Borzoi.
Yeah, the Borzoi, like my Arturo. God, I miss him so much.
Let's learn about a show season product right now. How's that?
Okay, I would love to share with you about two of our favorite show season products, Bliss Shampoo and Bliss Conditioner.
Yummy!
And that's exactly what it is. So our CEO, Sandy Giorgi, she determined she wanted to create a product that had a yummy, yummy fragrance. And she created Bliss.
It's one of my favorite everyday shampoos. I don't have the conditioner because I just don't use a lot of conditioners, so I don't buy that many conditioners. But as far as a shampoo, it is top of my line. It smells delicious. She did exactly what she set out to do. She made a shampoo that is just, well, I'd love to bathe myself in it every day. It's just that good.
So the ingredients of the Bliss shampoo are the typical sodium lauryl sulfate, sodium lauryl sulfate, cocamide MEA, no DEA for show season, and cocamide propyl B10 for foam and all of the good things that that cocamide propyl B10 brings to a shampoo. The fragrance, as we said, it's called Bliss, and it's kind of flowery, kind of powdery. Show Seasons uses sunflower triglycerides in all of their shampoos as a refatting agent and as an all-natural fragrance extender. So the Show Seasons Bliss shampoo has a fragrance that's going to last longer than most. And it's naturally extended. It's not a phthalate. It's not a scary kind of chemical. Good old natural sunflower triglycerides, okay?
As a person who puts a lot of different shampoos into clear bottles that have labels that constantly fall off of them, I appreciate its beautiful pink color.
Yes, it has a pink color that's kind of associated with the blissfulness of the product. And we love it. It's a staple at Transformation Pet Center because it has just enough fragrance to be noticeable but not overwhelming. So when you cuddle with the dog, it smells great. But if it walks through the room, it's not an air wick.
You know?
And it's a very good cleaner, works wonderfully in the recirculating system. The conditioner is, we can take a look, perhaps. It's acetyl alcohol, dimethyl styramine. Didn't we talk about dimethyl styramine a week or two ago?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, it's a great alternative to a cationic, it is cationic, but it's a good alternative to other cationics that build up. This one doesn't build up. It contains lactic acid, which is great for skin. A conditioning ingredient called polyquaternium 10 that's found in many good conditioners. It has a little jojoba oil in it. I like that. Jojoba oil is one of my favorite ingredients because it is very hair friendly. Okay, so how's that?
I love it. And yeah, the conditioner also smells just like the shampoo, right?
Right, exactly.
Cool. Yeah, there you go. A lovely match. So, how about our definition du jour today?
Okay, well, today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about an ingredient that we usually find in when there's fear mongering amongst us. Okay? Fear mongering amongst us. If a writer wants to frighten us about cosmetics, they will generally refer to the presence of 1,4-dioxane.
It sounds familiar.
It's a byproduct, Susie. 1,4-dioxane is not an ingredient. It is never put in to a product. It is a byproduct of the manufacture of sodium lauryl sulfate, of any of the PEG, because when they synthesize using ethylene oxide, there's a byproduct that can occur called 1,4-dioxide, which is highly toxic, highly carcinogenic, really scary, scary stuff. But in most cases, the manufacturer, if they are an ethical manufacturer, has a vacuum cleaning system that strips the excess 1,4-dioxane from the ingredient. So it's not something that's a function of the shampoo itself. It's the byproduct in the making of some of the ingredients. And when the ingredients are manufactured, it's reduced to a trace minimum. And the trace amounts that are found in cosmetics have been determined to be harmless. So although the substance 1,4-dioxane is evil, its presence is not. When it's in, hardly measurable, less than 10 parts per million.
Would this be a good example of the dose, the poison is in the dose kind of a thing?
Yes, the dose makes the poison.
Yeah, okay, there we go. I knew I had that backwards. The dose makes the poison. So is the fear that we're producing so much of this stuff that we're releasing this into the air, is that the fear?
No, it's just the fear that it's usually written about as though it's an undisclosed ingredient.
But it's not actually in the shampoo, or is it in the shampoo and trace amounts?
It may be in the shampoo. You know, the good old EWG did some tests of baby shampoos and found there were trace amounts and that there was more than claimed or something like that. But it's still trace amounts.
When you say trace amounts, are you talking about like 100 parts per?
Oh, less than that. 10. Oh, okay. 10 parts per million.
Oh, wow.
If you got 10 parts per million in the shampoo and you dilute it, there's no fear. You don't need to be. It's an unnecessary, malignant misinformation. The stuff is deadly, but it's not there in any significant amount.
Okay. So it's just one of those things that they use to scare us.
Exactly.
We've got to be wise to these things, Barbara.
Because if you were to avoid all ingredients that are manufactured with ethylene oxide, you couldn't use any of the laureth sulfate. No PEGs, no PPGs. The PEGs are more water soluble. The ethoxylation process, which is the process of synthesizing using ethylene oxide, it's done to make ingredients more water soluble, more friendly towards each other, larger molecules so they're less likely to damage skin, you know, so on and so forth. It's a good thing, people.
I would think that these ingredients have been out there long enough so we would see like widespread epidemic issues with them if there were true problems with them, and we're not seeing that. Of course, one might say, well, we have a lot of psoriasis or we have a lot of dermatitis or this and that.
Or that a lot of people are dying of cancer. Well, they're not getting their cancer from their shampoo.
All right. One more break. Let's hear from Evolution Shears, and then we're going to talk a little bit about mobile scheduling. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution Shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution Shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now, okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Look out, here it comes. It's your mobile moment. Shit happens when you're mobile. Traffic happens, dogs happen, people happen, breakdowns happen. All kinds of stuff can happen that will make you late. And I decided early on that I didn't ever want to be late. So now I am never, ever, ever late. And that's because I give an open-ended appointment time. I will tell you, I'm going to be there no earlier than 2:30, but I will show up sometime after 2:30, usually within an hour, usually between 2:30 and 3:30. And if I'm going to be any later than that, I will text you, but it occasionally does happen that I will run even later than that. You know, I'll add a dog in or I'll run into traffic. There are people out there like our very dear friend, Sun Young, who are mobile groomers that are on time all the time. I don't want to live like that. I want to live as simply and casually as I possibly can. That's why I work for myself. That's why I spend my day with animals. I'm trying to engineer my life so that I don't have to worry about rushing to an appointment and having a panic attack because I'm sitting in traffic that I can't control. So I've made it so that I don't have to worry about this. So some of you guys, they'll work for someone, even if you're mobile. And in that case, you may not have the flexibility that I had. Barbara, you had a situation like that.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it was before the days of cell phones. And it was before the days of forced air dryers. So we were drying everything with stand dryers, arm dryers. And we were not allowed to be late because we had our full day, eight dogs scheduled. And your first one was like at 8 a.m. that you had to show up. And your second one was at 9:30. And your third one was at 11, you know, and that was your day every single day. And I was the first one that they hired who was doing like breed profile work and scissored lamb trims. And I was always running late. And I was looking for pay phones, and you had to call the office and tell the office you were late, and they would call the client. Oh, I was always in trouble.
I don't want to live like that.
I don't want to live like that either. So, you know, like, I totally support your engineering your work life so that it works for you because, damn it, work is our life.
It's
a part of your life. You're living. It's not worth a day of misery.
That's, you know, right.
And shit happens. And we have shit happens in the stationery shop too. Yesterday, I had three dogs scheduled, including their new Scotty puppy, which is finally coming in. And in my book, it was written down as 9 o'clock appointment. Somehow, when it got put in the computer, not by me, I hadn't written it down carefully enough in the book. She scheduled the computer time to be 12.
Uh-oh.
And then I had three dogs coming in at one.
That's definitely a shit happens situation.
So that was a shit happens. So I'm texting them in the morning, can you come now? No, I'm at work. The earliest I can come is 11:10. So the first three dogs, we did have one dog at 10 that came in, a chow mix that came in. And by the way, that's not your mother's blow dry accelerator. It's a great de-shedding accelerator.
Good to know.
Yeah, we blew more hair out of our chow mix than we had the last three times. You know, it really did it. So anyway, there we were, and the new puppy, and I wanted to take a lot of time with the new puppy, and I wanted to get pictures and a video, and I couldn't do any of that. You know, I just had to hurry up and get it all done, and we were just kind of like under stress from 11:15 on till the end of the day. And we did it. And we did it with humor. And, you know, and we just accepted this day was shit. And we sang about it. And
you know, the thing that'll save your butt is communicating with the owners in your case would have been the owners of the shop or the owners of the grooming business. But letting the client know what's going on is really helpful, because then during the day, I mean, sometimes I start out at my first appointment and I already know I'm going to be late for my third appointment. I know from the moment I left the house that my day is going to be slid by about a half an hour just from the start. So I'll let people know by text at that point so they can plan their lives. They know that they can at least have an extra half an hour before they have to be home. And in my case, my clients are all good with that. They're the kind of clients that it works for. And if it doesn't work for them, then I pass them to someone who is more able to narrow down their appointment times. But everybody knows that I talk a lot and they like the stories, and they realize that I'm late to their house because I was spending time with the person before them, and they're okay with that. I find that if I get too late, the smart thing to do is to cancel the very next appointment, not to try and run late all the rest of the day, but make a correction early in the day that'll fix the rest of the day for you. For instance, if I'm running an hour late, I'm like, haven't even started that dog. So I'm a full hour late and I haven't started the dog. And I know that by the time I get done with it, I'm going to be at least an hour, maybe a little bit longer than that late for the next appointment. I'll call or text that next appointment and give them the option to reschedule. And that way, I can take my time at the dog's house that I'm at, and then I will be back on schedule, only having to reschedule one dog instead of pissing off the next three people by being late in a row to each one of their houses. So that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and also individual differences amongst clients. So I even have a little thing where I can flag a client as not flexible. It's secret to me. It only shows up in my computer program, but it lets me know. It reminds me that I better not mess with this appointment, but here's somebody later in the day that's way flexible, you know. So what happens in the shop is that I have to ask for extended go home times, you know, so I'll be God, I love texting because
me
I
too.
Need to keep Sammy until 5. I'm going to need some more time. Can I keep your dog? You know, does this work for you to leave your dog until? And if they say, no, I've got, you know, an appointment, then they're not flexible today. But, you know, kind of to know who's copacetic, and very important, who's not. And don't mess with your rigid people, because it's going to mean too much to them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So know who's flexible, know who's not.
Be flexible yourself too, because you're asking your clients to be flexible. For me, if someone has a date where they call me at the last minute and they're like, oh, Bobby's coming in from the airport unexpectedly, can you be done by X time? Yeah. If I can't be done by that time, I'm going to let them know but I'm going to make every possible effort to slide around and get their dog done on the day they were scheduled, even if it means swapping with a different client who is flexible. I'll do that. So on an individual basis, my clients know that if they have a hard out or they need me there at a specific time, I can work with them, but it is not the norm. All right. Well, I think that's about it. Oh, occasionally, if you're so late and you have to reschedule someone, you can give them a nice additional service at their next appointment. I'm not a fan of discounting, but I am a fan of throwing in like a foot treatment or a hot oil treatment, or if you do it, a tooth brushing, or perhaps a bath bomb for the dog for the next time for free. Something that you charge for normally that you give him as an extra. And that's it. I think we're going to call this one done. We made it. Goal. We reached the end of the game. So thanks, guys. Thanks for being here with us. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. And we love that you're here with us. Barbara, thank you for your time as well. Happy grooming, everybody.
Happy grooming. And don't forget to say please and thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie@thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.